To begin, though, up and down the country, an army of combine harvesters has been mobilised. Cereals are being harvested and straw is being saved. A few months ago, the weather was so bad that tillage farmers would have said that they were sowing this year more in hope than expectation of a harvest. But the signs are that victory has been snatched from the jaws of defeat and that there will be a half-decent crop this year. That said, obviously, producing cereals is only becoming more and more challenging thanks to climate change and a poor international price, as I found when I visited the formerly sunny southeast this week.
We look for the moisture of the grain and how hard it is that when you bite it, that it is hard, that cracks in your teeth, and that gives you a fairly good idea that it is right. But
there is very sophisticated equipment to tell you whether the moisture content of your cereal is right for harvesting or not. But for Nicky Keane in Wexford, the bite test still decides whether the combine gets to work or not.
With the combine today.
As I bite that between my teeth now, there's still a little bit of softness in it. So if I come back in an hour or two, would there actually be a crunch to it?
There would, but this field isn't really fully ripe. If we got the sun, a good hot sun on it today, that we'd call that sun ripe, and you would get to harvest it.
If you have a half an hour of rain in here now, is it all bets are off?
Yeah, you're finished for the day, basically. Like, that's it, you're done.
But if you have like a light shower, 5 minutes?
5 minutes, you're done for a couple of hours. It'll have to dry off again, like, you know, it's just that the crop is wet, the moisture goes up, and you have to wait for the crop to dry off.
Stop start,
and you could be cutting here, and half a mile down the road there wouldn't be a shower, and the person cutting down there would be cutting away, and you could be stopped here, and you're looking for someplace else to go then that you can cut.
What's that telling you?
It's some sort of warning, you're shutting down.
Did I cause that?
No, he didn't know. Malting barley, the protein would have to be under 10.8.
Moisture content really matters. Dry enough and it'll be used to brew beer or distill whiskey. Too much moisture and it will have to be sold for much less as animal feed. The want of a few hours of drying weather can make or break a harvest.
The field of barley that we are in would hopefully go for malting. And that's why we're slow to cut it, because the moisture has to be under 21.4% to cut it. So we've kind of been waiting around for the last week to cut that, to get the moisture down. And if that was going for feed, we would just cut it at 22 or 23%, because the time of the year it is, you just want to get it off the land.
And if you don't get it to the moisture level that you need it at, and you lose out on that 60 or 70 euro a tonne premium, what does that mean for the profit and loss accounts for this year?
That's your profit, like, you know, if you don't get it for malting, you're looking at break even or less, like.
This year's chronically wet spring meant that Nicky couldn't get any seed in the ground in March. He should be finished harvesting by now, but he's only halfway through the job. And the later in autumn that you harvest, the greater the chance that rain will interrupt play.
Do you think the weather's changing?
I do, yeah. It's more extremes when we get rain now. We get a lot of rain. You never get that kind of nice soft day's rain where the ground is wet all day, but when you look in the gauge there's only 3 or 4 mils in it. Like last Tuesday you get 30-40 mils, and it's extremes. And then we could get 6 weeks of dry weather when you're looking for rain. Then we don't seem to be getting those kind of 3 or 4 days of sunshine and maybe a soft day's rain, and you get back at it again the next day. And
Ten miles away from the home farm, a group of fields ripe with barley and oats shimmer in the face of a light sea breeze. Nicky's brother-in-law is out in the combine with a view of the salty islands for company. He's nearly finished the last field of oats when the weather turns.
Are you feeling that?
We've a mist just after starting here now, so there's 3 runs left in the field, so it's it's a race to get it finished now and move to the next place and hope that the shower hasn't landed there.
Yeah, some of those clouds are looking a little bit ominous.
Yeah, they are, and it's just the last couple of days, that's the way it's been, is that you'd be a shower here and a half mile on the road, the shower wouldn't have landed.
But this is how finely balanced it is. Three runs left in this field. What is that, 10, 15 minutes at the most?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
But you might not be able to finish it.
No, like if that came in a heavy burst there now, by the time he spins on the headland and get around, he could be stopped, like, you know.
Well, we're in his way. Let's not hold him up.
This is the lottery for Nicky, for all tillage farmers now. The later they sow because of a wet spring, the later they'll be harvesting, the more likely that they will be hit by rain as they do, and also the more likely that the fields will be hit by summer drought when the crop is just emerging from the soil. And as we've been reporting on Countrywide this year, the climate science now says that the odds of future winters being as wet as the last one are greater and greater. But Nicky is confident he has found a way to adapt.
On this farm, we've tried to go towards more regenerative farming, like sowing cover crops, the good crop rotation, trying to improve the soil health so that the soil can handle that excess rain, that if we can get the soil organic matter up and the structure of the soil better, it can hold more rain.
It's not damaged by the deluge and it retains moisture for the times of drought.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like, I think for years we were sold, you know, machinery companies, the problems were fixed with machines or a spray can or a fertilizer bag, but that isn't there anymore. Like, for 50 years that was the answer, but I think we're moving away from that. We're being forced to move away from that.
Very big kind of philosophical change, isn't it? Instead of looking to technology to fix the problems, we're now turning back to nature and saying, what help can you give us here, please?
Yeah, exactly. I think there was always an answer along the way, either with a machine or a spray can or a fertilizer bag.
And that was progress.
Yes. I think that road is run out and it's going back to a more regenerative farming, less soil disturbance, less sprays.
Does it make you optimistic, though, that, like, I mean, you know that these weather conditions are going to persist, are probably only going to get even worse, but that using the approach that you are now, you can adapt?
Yeah, it does. Like, I see the improvements in the soil structure here. Like, the field that we're beside here hasn't been ploughed since 2016. The straw was chopped for the last 5 years on it. If there hasn't been a winter crop in it, it has a cover crop in it. It has a cover crop at the moment. It'll be being sowed on the 1st of April in it next year.
That prevents soil erosion.
Yes, exactly. And runoff, you'll have less nitrogen going into the streams.
Are you making things harder for yourself if you don't do what you're
doing? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, yes, I do. I think it is going to get tougher. Soil conditions, deluges, everything else. There's a fear in it because all this is a financial risk by going that way. You can't just say, I'm going to go that way in the morning and farm regeneratively, because you have to make money at the end of the year. Otherwise, you won't be there. Your yields will go back a little bit, maybe. You know, it's a very slow process. I'm not fully there at all yet, but we're working towards that. Like,
Nicky Keane in Wexford. And listening to that is the tillage editor of the Farmers Journal, Siobhan Walsh. Good morning, Siobhan. How are you?
Morning, Philip. Thanks for having me on.
Nicky, what is true, Siobhan, of Nicky's farm finally getting a bit of good weather this year is not going to be true of everywhere else. What are you hearing about the rest of the country?
Sure. Look, Philip, I suppose spring barley is our biggest crop this year. We have 139,000 hectares, so it's over half of our cereal area because of the wet weather that we had. So people didn't get their winter crops in. They didn't get as much as usual in. Then we had a wet spring and late sowing. So the majority of farmers went for spring barley, which now means there's an awful lot of spring barley to be cut at the minute. And luckily we had those few days, 3.5 days basically last weekend to get some cutting done. And I would say a large amount of cutting was done last weekend, maybe about 65%. But for people who have crops left to cut, it's extremely difficult now. Like, as we look out this morning, there's a really, it's a hazy morning. There's a dew on the ground. As we go on in the year, we're in September now and days get shorter for cutting. And as days get shorter, it gets higher to get all those things that Nikki was talking about. So get your moisture down, and then, you know, quality goes down as the days get longer as well. And that means a loss in income. So it's just a bit more difficult, Philip.
There were some parts of the country that didn't even get those 3.5 days, though, last weekend, where they're thinking particularly of the Northwest. How did they do?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, as the rest of us were cutting spring barley down this way, the North and Northwest were still trying to cut their winter wheat, and their spring barley in many cases is still very green because it was sown so late. And I spoke to farmers in Donegal this week, and really up in that part of the country and parts of Derry, farmers are strongly thinking of getting out of tillage in those areas. So that's really disheartening to see. But the weather windows are just getting so much shorter. That's causing them, you know, there's years where they're not getting their crops cut, and it's causing them to rethink their situation. Thankfully, Philip, there was some cutting going on up in Donegal yesterday, so that's good.
You know, though, that there's this kind of mix in farmers between endless optimism that it's going to get better next year and then always saying, oh, I'm going to get out of this game, I'm going to give it up. Which way do you think the balance is tipping? Are there people seriously thinking about getting into growing grass rather than cereals?
Well, look, the figures don't lie, Philip, and unfortunately we are seeing a decline in tillage area. And if you look at the cereal area for the last few years even, we'll go the full tillage area. So when I talk about tillage, I talk about the cereal crops, beet, potatoes, oilseed rape, all those things. This year we've seen a decline about 1%. Last year we saw about 0.5%. We had a kind of a false increase the year before, I think it was. We had that tillage incentive scheme the year of the war in Ukraine, which brought it up slightly, but overall, Philip, our tillage area is declining. So this year we're at about 343,000 hectares, where we would have been at 350 in 2022. And that has knock-on consequences for straw and all that kind of thing as well, Philip.
Indeed. I didn't play what Nikki had to say there about price, Siobhan, but he was very troubled by the price. Why is it, please explain to us, that when there are less tillage farmers, less land, as you say, under tillage, the weather is making things harder and harder for all of them, but demand is as high as ever for their crops. Why is it that the price that they are getting for their grain is getting lower and lower?
So in Ireland, we produce really high yields, really good quality grain. But unfortunately, because our tillage area is so small, we are still a net importer of feed. So we have a lot of animals in this country that all need to be fed. So we're importing, while we're producing 2 to 2.4 million tonnes of grain, possibly, we're importing about 5 million tonnes of grain. So we're competing on a world market. And as you know, while there is
so
a low
you're saying that it
Ireland,
is the price of those imports that ends up determining the price of what is produced in this country?
Yeah, maybe not as simple as that, but basically, yeah. So we're competing. Basically, you know, if the price of wheat is dear, people will go to maize maybe that is cheaper and use that. And we have to get into a situation where there's a value placed on Irish grain and the quality of Irish grain, because and that would have come out of the Food Vision tillage report that was sent to the minister this year as well, a plan to help the tillage sector, because we're importing grain that's coming from countries maybe in South America that are GM, which we're not allowed to use in Ireland or Europe, and which is being sprayed with chemicals that have been banned in Ireland and Europe for many years. So Irish grain, you know, is much more traceable and safe than these other grains that are coming in.
Nikki's confident that the way to adapt to climate change is through regenerative farming. He has found a way for his farm, but his is a large farm. Might that not be the case for other smaller farmers?
Yeah, I think Nikki hit the nail on the head himself there. He said there is a hit on his profit as a result of going that way. And the majority of farms in Ireland and tillage farms in Ireland are small farms. People often have a picture of tillage farms being, you know, vast areas of land like we see in the US Midwest. In Ireland, there's an awful lot of tillage farms that are around the 30 hectare mark, or between 30 and 60 hectares, which is small. You know, tillage really needs scale. So in order to be viable, they need to continue to do things like plough and get good establishment to maximise their yield. But still, farmers who, you know, I suppose ploughing sometimes is looked on as bad. There's a lot of small farmers in Ireland who might be ploughing to maximise their yields and maybe control grass weeds. But they're also doing things like planting cover crops, just like Nikki is, incorporating straw. And I would say, you know, part of the way we get out of this climate problem is more tillage in Ireland. And that's in our climate action plan, Philip. The government wants to increase tillage area by 50,000 hectares. They're just not doing very much about it because tillage is our lowest carbon emitting sector. Philip, it's about 4 times lower than beef, 8 times lower than dairy. So if we had more tillage in this country, we'll produce less emissions, but we can also store more carbon in the ground. So those crops can take carbon dioxide out of the air and use their roots to put it down into the ground and store it and make us more climate resilient.
Indeed, Nikki figures, he hasn't done an audit yet, but he figures that he is at or as near to carbon neutral on his farm, over 900 acres as Dammit. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. Tell me, though, all of this aside, what's the mood amongst tillage farmers? How do you assess, you know, their resilience, their mental health?
Tillage farmers are, I'd say they're an extremely resilient crowd, but this year has really tested them. And this year, you know, I speak to farmers and agronomists who deal with farmers all the time, and their mood has been a lot lower this year. And when you're looking at, you know, break-even yields are less on feed barley, you know, where people are renting land, they're losing large amounts of money on spring barley or those poor yielding winter crops. So the mood is extremely low, Philip. And I worry for the tillage sector at the minute. You know, if there isn't help coming in from government in some way this year, I think, which is unfortunate. Tillage farmers don't want help from government. They want to be paid a good price for their product and make money, have a sustainable business. But unfortunately, I think if we don't get money from government this year in some way to pay the sector for doing those good climate things, then I think we will see another decline in tillage area this year because the losses will just be so high.
Indeed. All right. That's something that we're going to be looking at in the weeks ahead, is how is it that farmers can generate additional revenue from their farms for doing all of these things that we want them to do in the name of the environment and climate change. But Siobhan Walsh, tillage editor of the Farmers Journal, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's take a break.